Hey everyone, welcome to Entrepreneurship by Design with Dr. C. I'm your host, Dr. Caroline, and thank you so much for joining us today. Entrepreneurship looks different for everyone. How and why we start our business, challenges that occur, pivots we have to make, success we achieve, all while life is happening. That's why I love sharing these inspiring entrepreneurs with you and shed light that there's enough room for everyone to succeed and thrive, even if you're in the same industry. I'm so glad you're here with us today because we have an incredible guest with us, Heather Roberts. Heather is a successful entrepreneur and business mentor. She empowers high-achieving women to create a business that fits their busy lifestyle. With 16 plus years of experience building and exiting successful seven-figure businesses, Heather brings a wealth of knowledge to the table. Her approach focuses on efficient systems, the right team dynamic, and revenue-creating activities, while also prioritizing personal needs and overcoming limiting beliefs. Heather is passionate about helping women customize their life and businesses to fit their unique needs and desires. Through her Director's Chair VIP program, she teaches extraordinary women how to beat burnout and find balance. She also hosts the podcast Boundaries, Business, and Boobs, inspiring women leaders to break free from traditional expectations and find time for themselves. And thank you so much for being here today, Heather. It is such a pleasure to have you. And I would love for you to just dive into your journey, how you got here today, and then we can go a little bit deeper.
Oh, well, thank you for having me. This is amazing. I'm so appreciative. I have a little of an unconventional kind of way and story that I became a what I now describe as a serial entrepreneur. From the time I graduated from college, I got married a year later. And for that 14-year time span, I was the stay-at-home parent. Fun fact, the first 5 years my husband and I were married, we moved six different states. So it was busy, busy time. So yeah, I was a stay-at-home parent. And in 2007, my husband he was a VP of sales and marketing at a ready-to-assemble furniture company. And the president who hired him got let go. And the new president brought in a new team, which happens all the time in corporate. So we had a long conversations and decided that we didn't want to stay in corporate, and that's not what he wanted. So we had a house that we had to sell in Missouri, and we just put the house on the market. We took the kids out of their, you know, schools, and we moved back to North Carolina, which is where I grew up, and no idea what we're going to do. But we ended up leaning into his skill set, which is obviously sales. And we realized really quickly that back then, home decor and furniture companies were just starting to actually become players in the e-commerce space. So that's when we started our first company. We've co-founded it together. And we work with home decor and furniture companies and help them sell to the e-commerce sales channel. So that's like the Wayfairs, the Overstocks, the Amazons, Home Depot, Lowe's, blah, 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 blah. And so that was really, it was like a big adjustment for me and a big like, whoa, because I had a lot of what I would say imposter syndrome because, you know, I'd been the professional volunteer and what did I know about running a business? Turns out a lot of these skills are incredibly transferable. So we did that. And then in 2013, I had decided that I wanted to dip my hand into the product side of the business. So I started a decorative throw pillow company and was super, super fortunate. Used the same business model that we used with our clients in the agency and grew it from zero to 2.5 years later, we were a top five pillow supplier at Wayfair. So it was amazing. It was also exhausting. And I decided at about 5.5 years in that it was just not working. I was like, I came back from the office one day and I went upstairs and I sat on the bed and my husband is like, "You're all right?" And I just started bawling. I was like, "I hate it. I can't do this another minute." So decided it was time to sell. And so in 2019, I had a really healthy exit from the company and was able to get me to where I am today, which is a business coach. And I help, you know, busy female entrepreneurs, typically over the age of 40, and help them really begin to take control of their life again and stop being a people pleaser and a business pleaser. It's the best and shortest way to describe it. So yeah, that's my journey.
What a journey. And I so appreciate you sharing that. And I love what you said too about being able to have that volunteer, the skill sets that you had, and really apply it to a business. Because I think a lot of times, a lot of people transition from maybe their 9 to 5 or volunteer or charity or being a stay-at-home mom or dad, and being able to apply those skill sets in running a business. Because of course, you don't really learn that in school unless you went to business school. And then you don't always learn that aspect of it. But I'm so curious, because I know in your experience, you've had a lot of different people you've worked with, and you mentioned imposter syndrome. Can you share one of the limiting beliefs that you had to overcome in your own business journey?
I didn't believe I should have a seat at the table. Mm-hmm. So this was back, like 2009, 10, early on. Mm-hmm. And we had some very successful home decor and furniture companies that we worked with in the agency. And, I was having, kid you not, meetings with Neeraj Shah, who is one of the co-founders of Wayfair. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I must be playing dress up because I don't think I belong at this table. So that was really, and it was just that I didn't have the skill set that this or that. What I didn't realize is that it was all of my abilities and things that I had done, both in running our family household, but also, with, I co-edited a cookbook. I raised lots of money. I ran PTAs, all of those things. And in that, it got me to be a very good listener and a really good advocate. And, because of that, I finally began to realize that, oh no, I do belong at this table. That's it.
No, and I appreciate you sharing that too, because a lot of times we might feel like we're playing dress up or feeling like, do I deserve a seat at this table? And we absolutely do. And it's just really diving deep inside of ourselves and knowing that we have the skill set and our voice matters and being able to listen, of course. But I think being able to speak our truth and knowing that we have so many solutions within us to be able to solve problems, but giving us the space and the time to do so and really believing in ourselves. So I appreciate you sharing that, because I do think it's important to recognize that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It is.
And I know you really work with a lot of women in all capacities, but how do you help women who are struggling to customize their business to fit their unique needs and desires?
Yeah. So it's really funny because we as women were kind of raised to believe that businesses were supposed to be built a certain way, right? But the problem is that's like trying to put a square peg in a round hole, mm-hmm. because that model was built for men. And I don't mean to be divisive or anything, but that's the truth. This was built, that model was built in the 1950s, and, the men went to work and the women stayed home. Well, the 70s began to change all of that. But the problem is we didn't change the way we operated our businesses. So we were still expected to do all of the things at home and all the things we needed to grow our business. And that is not possible and it's not sustainable. Mm-hmm. So the very first thing that I ask people is, what does your perfect day look like? Mm-hmm. And, it really kind of stops them. They're like, oh, cause like, regular old day in your life. What's a perfect best case scenario? What does that look like for you? And that gives us a really good starting point, because it gets them thinking about what is actually important to them. What are their priorities and what isn't.
Right.
So that's, that's one of the things. So ask yourself, what would your ideal perfect day look like? Mm. And it's not the walking on the beach, holding hands into the sunset. Let's be realistic.
Yes.
Come on.
I love that you said that, because I think we can think of our perfect day and just like, oh, being out and doing all these things, but that's not realistic. It's not like every day.
No, you're every day. And it's really funny because I have been able to design that for myself. Like I can say that, I actually am doing that. And so I just don't speak it. Somebody says to me, well, how did you do it? What do you do? Listen, I'm a big old systems and operations type brain and list making and all of that. And so, you know, you start with, you know, literally making the list. What does your perfect day look like? Mm-hmm. Where are you in your business? Where are there strengths? Where are the weaknesses? What are you doing on every minute of every day? You know, so we start with some of those basic foundations and then figure out where those holes are and we plug them.
I love it. Filling in the gaps. That's what it's about, because you can continue going on the way you are, but it can really be detrimental to your life, to your business, to everything else. If you continue to have this busy lifestyle, but not being able to be productive and what works best for you in your lifestyle as well.
Yeah. It makes me think of this visual that I saw somewhere from my childhood and I don't remember where, but it's, you have like a wall or a dike in Holland and you know, it starts leaking and you have the person over there plugging it, but you never can plug all of the holes at the same time because you get one plugged and another one popped out. And that's how I think so many entrepreneurs, in particular women, are running their businesses and their life. Yeah. And it's not sustainable.
No, absolutely not. I mean, you can try it, but I don't know how long it's going to last.
Yeah.
And I'm so curious because I know building a business is not easy. I know you've kind of already touched a little bit on just things that you've had to overcome, but can you tell us a time in your entrepreneurial journey where you had to overcome a major obstacle and how did you do that?
Well, I made a $50,000 mistake.
Oh. that might do it.
Yep. So when I owned the Throw Pillow company, I was in the process of automating the systems that, so that we could process orders in a, automated way and not have it be so manual. The first system that I had paid for, spent $50,000, we'd put it in. And when we turned it on, it had tested, but when we turned it on for reality and the volume of orders, the damn thing literally blew up. I mean, it completely broke 100%.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it was really bad.
It sounds like it.
And so what I did was I quickly pivoted. And went, you know, back to like, I had let my temper, some of my staff go, you know, like I had cut this down because I was like, boom, we're ready. So the biggest things that I learned was, one, I needed to have kept my staff around longer to make sure that this thing really, really, really did work the level and the volume that went. Luckily, I was able to get some temporary help in and like the next day. So I focused on, my focus was, how do I process my orders? Because I'm dead in the water if I can't process my orders. And every order had to go out within 24 hours. So I brought in temporary staff. We manually did everything because even anything that had been automated prior blew up with the whole thing. So I was like, focus on the most important thing, which is fulfilling the orders. Now, what are the systems and the things we have to do to make that happen? Okay. It's going to be a little clunky and it's not going to be pretty, but okay. And then, and I will say, I went with the company I should have gone with in the first place, but they were twice as expensive. Mm-hmm. So I ended up spending more than I should have, you know, I spent an extra $50,000 as opposed to $100,000. And, you know, so I tried to kind of get through on the cheap, and that you just can't do that.
Yeah, no, that's definitely a valuable financial lesson for sure. I think we've all, in some degree, have done something similar to that where we've maybe tried to cut corners or done something. Yeah. But at the end of the day too, I think it's a beautiful lesson in being able to be very resourceful of finding the temporary help, getting people back in there so you can get the orders out. But that can take a toll on anybody as well, just being able to get that out.
Yeah. No, it was... Don't recommend it.
Here, you're listening right here, right now, everyone. Don't do that. You get to learn from Heather.
Yeah.
So I appreciate that. And I'm just so curious, because I know you were working with the pillows and everything like that, and mm-hmm. then moving into your next business. What was the drive to start this business now?
Great question. It kind of evolved over the course of several months, mm-hmm. but I was listening to a lot of my colleagues, or quite frankly, The biggest one got me. I was on vacation and I kept noticing how many times I would hear this very conversation between women and like their spouses or whoever. It was, I know I should say no, but. And I was like, oh. And then I started listening to myself. I was like, I even said it more than I was like, okay with. And what I realized is that we are not creating boundaries like we need to. And so yes, I'm a business coach. I do focus a little bit more in creating the boundaries and systems that are required to have a better life and to get control back. But that's really at the heart of it. And it doesn't sound sexy, but it is what it is. It was just listening to, I'm in the grocery store. I am in, conferences, wherever. And we just, as women, we continued to people please and business please is how I describe it, right? We trying to please and do everything in our business. And we try and please everybody because we don't, God forbid, somebody get angry at us, or God forbid, we actually stand up for ourselves. I was like, that's crazy. There's, I'm from the South and there is a way to do it that keeps you in alignment with yourself and serves your own values and the things, that are intrinsically important to you.
Absolutely. And I think that's a really important point when it comes to the people pleasing. And I'm a former people pleaser. I know so many. I feel like we should create a group.
Uh-huh. It's a recovering. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm a recovering people pleaser.
Right? All welcome. But I think it really is that aspect of wanting to please everybody, but you have to please yourself first and foremost, because the saying of like, if you're pleasing everyone, you're not pleasing yourself. And that's like the most important, because that's going to radiate on other people as well. Like when you feel complete aligned, that is going to manifest around you as well. And I'm just so curious, because with your experience of just working with these individuals, especially with business coaching, what advice would you give women who are struggling to find that balance between not people-pleasing and being aligned with their business?
The very first thing, and this sounds really corny and hokey, but I'm going to give you two, maybe three things. Mm-hmm. The first of which I did not invent, but I have Mel Robbins. She is, we all know who I am. She's amazing. But she has this thing that she does every morning, and she encourages people to do it too, which is high five yourself in the mirror every morning, right? Mm-hmm. So if your listeners have heard of that, or if they haven't heard of it, so what you do is like when you're brushing your teeth or something, in the mornings, you look yourself in the eyes in the mirror and you go and you give yourself a literal physical high five. Yes, handprint is on the mirror. Those of you who are neat freaks, deal. Anyway, do that every day for a week, and you're going to start to see that your confidence and your self-worth improves. And that's the first step, because we're smart women and we know, like intellectually, we know we should do these things, but we don't. And I think it's because it all goes down to deep, deep inside, don't feel you're worth it. That's what it is. You can describe it in 100 different ways, but at the end of the day, it all comes down to, I do not feel that I am worth it. So the second thing I tell everybody to do is, I know that many people practice gratitude, but nobody practices what I call loving yourself. So every single day, write down one thing that you love about yourself. It can be as trivial as, I love how my hair looks today. Doesn't matter, right? It's something. Or it could be, I love the way that I communicate with my spouse. Or I love the way I am a leader in this capacity in my business. Just do that. And so if you do both of these things simultaneously, you're going to begin to understand and realize that your self-worth and confidence increases. And you'll notice that you start to love yourself and like yourself. And that, my friend, is the very first step in anything, whether it's fixing something in your business or fixing something in your personal life. The very first step starts there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would agree on that. And I think it's so valuable too, just what you're sharing and understanding how it's that inner work doing that, because that's going to affect everyone around you, especially building a team in a business aspect and the team dynamic. And what advice would you give to women who are struggling to find the right team dynamic for their business?
Well, you know, every business should have some core values, right? Mm-hmm. And so number one, do not hire for skill set, hire for fit. Meaning if someone does not fit your core values that you run your business by, they're not going to be a good team member.
Right.
The other thing is don't hire your besties. Don't hire friends. Do not hire friends. I have made that mistake too. Because your business is a business. It's its own living and breathing entity. It is not a place to have all your besties come and spend the day. Right. Mm-hmm. So, but do you know how many women don't do that? How many women that make, you know, over $1 million a year do not treat their business like it is a separate living and breathing entity? Mm-hmm. So they make that mistake. So hire for fit, not skill set. You can teach anybody anything. Maybe, you know, maybe not astrophysics, but you know, the things that are important in your business, because guess what? You probably, when you started your business, you were doing all the things.
Right.
So it's just teaching somebody else how to do it. So those are the two really biggies, that I really think are important. The third way is, and the third piece of advice I would give is, when you are writing your job description and the roles and responsibilities, literally write it out. It's so important for you to write out what the specific role is, what the responsibilities are. Mm-hmm. And then the next step that people do not take is I want you to rate everything that you put out there, right? One, two, or three. Meaning number one, I need this person to be stellar at it, right? So these are the things they have to be stellar at. They have to be an A player, top league, all of that. Mm-hmm. Number two is I need them to be functional.
Yeah.
Right? Not great. I just need them to be able to do it. Number three is I don't really care if they're able to do this or not.
Mm-hmm.
So if that's the case, if you have a lot of those threes, then that's not part of that job. That's another job, right?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
So that's the other thing. So you have to understand when you're really looking at creating a role in your business, that's how you set it up. I will also tell you that I'm a little controversial, and I say, most people will say, a business coach will tell you your first hire needs to be an executive assistant or a virtual assistant. No, your mm-hmm. first hire needs to be somebody who cleans your house and does some errands for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You need a personal assistant, not a virtual or an executive.
Yeah.
You need to take off some of the pressure that you have on yourself. Fastest and easy way to do that, quit cleaning your toilets.
Yeah.
Have somebody, you know, and you can, there's lots of different ways to find that person and job responsibilities and everything, but that's the first hire is that.
You don't hear that a lot, because I think people will say, get a virtual assistant. Like, I've heard that, I've like experienced that, but you're absolutely right. It's the things that you can do them, but it just takes such a load off of not having to worry about certain things like cleaning the toilets or doing things that can be outsourced.
Yeah. I mean, how much is your, so it, to me, it's a dollars and cents.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, why am I going around picking up prescriptions, you know, when I could be, you know, doing something else like working with a client and making $10,000, right? My time is valuable. Mm-hmm. My time, you know, literally my time is $1,000 an hour. So how many things can I outsource?
Right. Yeah, no, I think that just like brings it home of understanding too where our resources are, how to use like tools and what is available to us, because what's going to make sense financially, but also mentally too, just like seeing that it's like the house is dirty or you need it cleaned or whatever it is, like or running errands, it's one less thing on your plate. And I'm just curious, with the tools that you've used in your business, what are some of the things that you've used to really help systemize your business or just in general that you use on a regular basis?
A couple of things. We actually, when we create a system, we used Trello, we've used 100 different things, but for some reason, Trello seems to land with everybody. I guess it's the simplest. But with that, we document every process, meaning every single step in there has to be there. And we create videos to accompany it so that there's no confusion. And there's so many things that can change so quickly in the world right now. Creating a video of how to do something is so easy to then, change another one, just a Loom, right? It's like a Loom video, 5 minutes and boom, you're done. So that's the best thing, is document every process. If you're like, I don't know how to document every process, the next time, for example, let's say the next time you pay an invoice or send an invoice, record it. Record you doing it. Open your QuickBooks, like literally start recording. I'm opening my QuickBooks. Okay, that's my login, and this is how I do it. And you talk yourself through it. It's that simple. We use LastPass, which is a game changer, so that we can save things easily. We use, in my this business, like in my current business, we use obviously Canva. We use Descript. So Descript is for, a lot of people use it for podcast editing. I don't do that. I use it for video editing for social media. And it's super easy and it's amazing. It's just fantastic. The other thing I do, and we do this in both companies, we subscribe to otter.ai and Otter will come into your meetings and transcribe everything down to who said what into the minute so that you can be more present in your meetings and in your calls. And if you ever like have a question of, wait, what am I supposed to do here? What's my follow-up? Or did I agree to this? It's there. It is documented and it has saved my ass more times than I can count, in multiple ways. So we use that. Obviously we, then a great little tip for a productivity tip, take your Otter transcript and put it in ChatGPT and ask it to summarize. Summarize this for me and what are the action steps? And then if you're working with clients, doing that and then sending that to your client is like, they just think you're the best thing since sliced bread. Right.
Yes.
Yeah. So those are some, those are some things. But it's really, you don't have to be fancy and have everything automated if you're just starting out yourself. But, before you want to hire someone, even if it's your personal assistant, document how you like things done. Like take pictures of the brands and the labels of things that you like.
Yes. Yeah. No, I'm like, everyone needs to rewind this and like save it. These are amazing. Yeah. Some things I haven't heard about yet. So this is really helpful for me too.
There we go.
But I do love ChatGPT. I always have to say in my head. I know. It just helps too, like summarize things. Or if you're trying to like figure out how to say something, obviously you go in and change it, but it really gives you a conceptualization of things and it makes it so clear, then maybe you can like think of it that moment because your brain's going a million places at once.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Well, I appreciate you sharing all of those. Those were wonderful. And so I know you have Director's Chair VIP program. What inspired you to create it? And what are some of the key takeaways for participants that are in it?
Great question. I prefer to work, like to go, people say, oh, I like to go deep. Well, I like to get to know my clients and understand what their real pain points and struggles are, because 99% of the time they're going to come to me and say, hey, I think my problem is I don't know how to prioritize, for instance. And I'm like, well, let's talk about that. It turns out that's not your problem. Your problem is that you don't realize that you are being controlling and you need to let go of these tasks and let somebody else, it goes woof. And the director's chair day is, I call it, it's not like a rent a girlfriend where we're going to walk on the beach and we're going to drink champagne and I'm going to tell you how wonderful you are. I will tell you how wonderful you are if it's true. And if you need some help, I will tell you that too. So, but it's a chance to really dive deep into, you know, your business and the things in your personal life that are causing you friction. And we put together, by the end of the day, we have a literal step-by-step plan that you can implement. So we work with people on the front end. We send them homework so that they, you know, we come to her prepared, and then we work through the plan and we create that plan. And whatever that plan is, different from you than it is for somebody else. And that's why I really prefer to work with people in this capacity, because, you know, I can have a group of people, but they're all different. We're all different. Mm-hmm. And being able to really focus in on the individual and what that person needs is so important to me. It's really, really important. And then we have follow-up time. So, you know, I don't just go, hey, here you go, and let you go. You know, it's not like that. We do. Yeah, no, we have follow-up. But then I have clients that they do an interesting thing. They do this like a couple times a year. It's, you know, this is their way that they have their business coaching. It's okay, let's go and do these intensives, you know, intensive days, you know, 3-4 times a year, and boom.
Yeah. I love it. And I think too, it's just very concise of just what they're going through in that moment, but also it's like quarterly check-in, it sounds like too. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. I would love to know just a particular example of a woman who has gone through your program and achieved significant success in her business and personal life.
Awesome. Yeah. So Madeline is who comes to mind right off the bat. And so when I first, I've actually had been in a mastermind with Madeline. So we had been, you know, colleagues. But she came to me and she said, okay, I have this online product and so forth that I built, and I need help. You know, I want to figure out how to streamline some things and grow it and be able to sell it. So that's where we started. Where we have ended up is Madeline has realized she did not want to do the online product that she had done, and she doesn't really care about selling it. It was just a shiny distraction. What she really wanted to do and has done is write a book about her journey. She wanted to be a keynote speaker, and she wanted to be able to increase her profitability through this by 50%. And she has done all three of those. And in the process, she's taken her company from 300,000 to 750. And she has saved herself tens of thousands of dollars by not continuing to develop the program, the online program that she was, or product that she was doing. Wow. So, and we have found a way to license it to be able to get her money back that she invested in it. She invested like 200,000 in it. So we found a way to license it for her that matches everything that she's doing. So.
Oh my gosh, what an incredible story. And, you know, I think it's really important to highlight too, you can be down a road of like doing something that you want to do or you think you want to do and then shift gears. And I think that's absolutely okay. And I love that she was able to work with you to really find that passion of what really resonated with her and achieving it too. Like that's incredible what she's been able to accomplish. And with your guidance as well, I think it's having people in your corner that are going to be honest with you. Like what you were saying earlier, like you might say, oh yeah, you're wonderful. Only if you are, you know, but there's truth to that too. And I think that's where people can thrive. They sometimes need the hard truth. They need those tough conversations to really allow themselves to thrive and succeed in life, in business, because we can't sugarcoat things. And that's not going to get us anywhere. It goes back to that people pleasing factor. Like we can't, because it's not going to really allow us to scale what we want to scale.
100%. Yep. That is it. You've got it.
But I know you do so many things, but part of what you do is your podcast, Boundaries, Business, and Boobs. It's a really catchy title. Like I was telling you before, I was like, oh, that's intriguing. Can you tell us more about the inspiration behind it and what kind of topics you cover on your show?
Yeah. So Boundaries, Business, and Boobs is like my little heart. I love it. I interview women who are kind of on the other side. And then I'm also going to start giving some practical tips and so forth on off weeks. So I interview high performing, high six, seven figure female entrepreneurs, all different industries, and basically work through in the conversation what, you know, what have you learned about creating boundaries in your life and in your business? Mm-hmm. What precipitated that need for that boundary? And, you know, how has it helped you along the way? And how have you, you know, grown both, you know, within yourself, but also your business. So we really do. And these women are amazing. They are so fantastic. They're from all over the world. And so we have no problem. Like I, one of the things is when I interview these women, I'm kind of like, okay, if there's something you don't want to talk about, go ahead and just say no, you know, please say no. But if you're willing to kind of go there with me, then let's go there. And, I love that these people want to go there because they want to help other people. They want other people to learn and not make the same mistakes that they have. So it really gives, it's a lot of fun. It's really fun. And at the end of every episode, I have, my husband and I have three children in their 20s. And so they're all grown. Ish. But at the end of every episode, I create a message to them. And it's about the thing from the interview or the conversation that hit home with me that I think would serve them in their lives as they go through the different stages. And it's literally, it's just like, hey, y'all, it's me, you know, so it's just me and how I talk to my kids. And so I think that's one of my favorite things because I feel like I'm helping, you know, I'm helping them too.
Yeah. I love that. I didn't realize that, but I think that's just such a beautiful gift for them too. And them receiving it, whether it hits home right at that moment, but maybe like a year later or 2 years later, or just in that moment. But I think it's just so heartwarming too. And that's why it feels like that piece of your heart, like as you were saying it, like I felt that warmth around me. Yeah. But I think that's so beautiful of understanding too. There's so many lessons that we can learn from others and we don't have to repeat those experiences, but we can learn from them and take it how we want. But I mean, you shared so many lessons in your journey, and I'm sure there's so much from others too, because I feel like you can learn something from everybody and being able to instill that for your three children as well.
Yes, absolutely. We can. I know. It's always, always learning.
Yeah, never stops. Like the more I learn, the less I know, I feel. But I'm open to learning. That's the beautiful thing.
That's a good thing.
But even with all the struggles that like some of the entrepreneurs that maybe you have interviewed and just experienced in your circle, what do you think, in your opinion, is the biggest challenge women entrepreneurs are facing today? And how do they overcome them?
They don't put themselves first. Mm-hmm. So I have an analogy that I use that I think perfectly illustrates this point. When we were little, like kindergarten, preschool, we used to be loved to be the line leader, right? It was like the big honor to be the line leader. Like everybody, you'd come home and you're like, mom, I was the line leader, you know?
Yes.
It was a big deal.
Absolutely.
But from that time in kindergarten and first grade, something began to happen where slowly but surely another person would get in front of us in the line and in the line and in the front, in the front. In the front. Mm. And before you know it, there are nine people standing in that line before you. Mm-hmm. Except here's the thing. This is your life. Why are you the 10th person in your own life? You need to regain the steps to becoming your own line leader. And so it's the number one thing you can do. Stop people pleasing, stop putting everybody for you. You know, the number one thing you can do that will help your business and your personal life is to become the line leader for yourself.
I love that analogy because it's very true. And that's something like my tagline is put yourself at the top of the priority list, because a lot of times we're not even on our list or we're 10th on the list, because I think it's so easy to give to others. But what I think I've learned and others as well is the more we give to ourselves, the more we can give to others, because we have a full cup. We're not depleted every day. And being a former therapist, I was, even coach too, like all of those factors, it takes a toll on your mind and your body. But I think, you know, you just put it so beautifully of the line leader and really like visualizing that too, of how we just start to slowly fall behind if we allow it to, but taking a stand, using our voice and being able to stand in our light. Because it's what you help people do. It's what you do as well. And goes back to what we were talking about earlier, having that seat at the table.
Exactly.
And securing your seat there.
Yep.
You know, like line leader, the seat, all the same thing.
But same thing. Same thing.
Just like, different I'm here. Words. And I'm just curious too, because I know you've had a lot of lessons. You've learned a lot along this journey. But what would you say are the top two tips on the entrepreneurial experience you've had that would be beneficial for others to hear?
Ooh, okay. This is a good one. Let me think about this for a second. Well, obviously putting yourself first. Can I give you three?
Yeah, absolutely.
Learn to delegate and understand how to read a P&L. So many entrepreneurs do not understand how to read a P&L and they do not delegate enough.
Yeah. Those go hand in hand.
Yeah.
Because people really talk about that. Like, I mean, delegating, yes, but
not like, do you really understand your numbers? Because you have to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And if you're a slave to your business because you're just trying to make money, you don't have a business, you have a job.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to understand your P&L backwards and forwards.
Mm-hmm. No, that's very true. Just you're replacing what you said. Business for another job, like you're having another job. If you're not knowing your numbers, not delegating, not prioritizing yourself, all of that falls by the wayside instead of being able to thrive in your business.
Yep.
But Heather, I've been so enjoying this conversation, but where can people find you, use your services? We're going to link everything below, but if you could let us know too.
Best thing to do is go to wherever you find your podcast and subscribe to Boundaries Business and Boobs. You can also find me on Instagram at the same handle, Boundaries Business and Boobs, and go to the website, boundariesbusinessandboobs.com or extraordinarywomen.co.
Perfect. Well, thank you again, Heather, for just sharing your beautiful energy with us and all your amazing insights. I know I appreciate it. I'm sure everybody listening does as well.
Thank you so much for letting me be here today.
Absolutely. It was a pleasure. And make sure to like, subscribe, comment below. What was the biggest takeaway from Heather today? She gave so much insight and tips. I'm sure one of them resonated, if not all of them. I'm sure she would love to see that comment as well. And we will see you on the next episode.